welcome you into the last August edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. It's hard to believe that the season has rolled along to this point, that Labor Day is right here, and we're in the midst of a pennant race. We really are in the midst of a pennant race, something that we did not see happening about 5 weeks ago. But it's been a wonderful run, and here to talk about it, I am Daniel Shoptaw, C70 at the bat, at C70 on Twitter, and always with me is Tara Wellman, at Bird Seeds, Birds on the Black, and on Twitter at Tara Wellman. And Tara, I told you I would just get this out of the way, because it's fair. I mean, it's fair to do this at any time, but it was a big week for Colton Wong, especially defensively, and then DL-wise, and I tend to forget to let you have your time for Colton. So we're going to start by letting you talk all about Colton Wong and how, well, just anything you want to talk about with Colton.
You know, you say you forget. I think that you realize that if you want to talk about anything else over the course of the half hour or so of this show, you should probably conveniently forget to bring up Colton Wong.
It's possible.
No, but it was a big week for Colton, and it's been interesting watching the commentary on Colton Wong develop over the course of the season because, yeah, I mean, it's no secret that I've sort of quite literally been there since day one as far as thinking that Colton Wong had the potential to be this guy. It hasn't always been smooth sailing, and you know, there have been a number of times where I've had to sit back and say, look, I think he can be that guy, but he's not that guy right now. At this point though, we're seeing how special Colton Wong can be. We're seeing some consistent offensive production. We're seeing some phenomenal defensive ability, and we're seeing it night after night. I mean, you hear anyone talk about what he's done lately, and basically the conclusion is you're expecting a highlight reel play from him every single night. And you know, it's fun to see him get to that point. I think it automatically calls into question some of what has been done over the course of his career thus far, especially when you hear comments from him that are basically saying, hey, the great thing about Mike Schilt is that he's just letting us be who we are. And all of a sudden we're seeing who Colton Wong is, who I've seen just under the surface with Colton Wong. And I'm not the only one. I may talk about it like I am, but I'm not the only one that has been saying this. We just, you know, have been fewer and more far between than I think maybe we should have been. But nonetheless, people have seen this under the surface for a long time with Colton, and it's just been a matter of it's not just playing time. It's not just, you know, his ability to get over maybe the pickoff in the World Series or the plays that he doesn't make. It's not just a matter of confidence, but it's been true all along that Colton Wong is a confidence guy. And when he's feeling it all around, and it is contagious, and it's a spark. And there's a reason that I made a Javi Baez Colton Wong comparison early in the season, and everyone told me I was crazy. And now here we are at the end of August talking about Colton Wong in a direct comparison to Javi Baez, not just as far as the Gold Glove is concerned, although that seems to be the hot button issue on the Twitters these days. But you know, there's a real comparison to be made there, but in the way that they can ignite a team. And I think what's been really interesting to watch from Colton is that he's been able to do that in a bit of a more subtle way. And some of that is because Matt Carpenter has been so on fire. And, you know, some of the rookies in the bullpen have sort of taken that spotlight. But Colton's been able to sort of quietly be that spark, to be that consistency, to be that guy on defense that gives the team as much of a boost because of his defensive ability as a lot of those guys do with their offensive ability. When, you know, Tyler O'Neill comes in and hits a big pinch hit home run, that's a huge boost to this team. But when Colton Wong saves two runs in what could be a runaway inning because of a diving play at second base, that's the same kind of momentum boost for this team. And you're seeing that build his confidence, you're also seeing it build the confidence in the guys around him. And that is why I keep saying Colton Wong has the potential to be the spark for this team, you know, whether it's at the plate or in the field. And we're seeing that not just, you know, what we're seeing with our eyes and having trouble believing, but the metrics play it out too. You put Colton Wong in that conversation as far as second basemen are concerned defensively this year, and he's right there at the top, if not leading, in almost all of those advanced categories. So, you know, this isn't just my personal opinion. This isn't just me willing him to be something special. This is actually real, and it's happening, and it's continuing to grow and to develop, and to put hard numbers to this belief that a lot of us have had in him. And it's fun to watch. It's pretty special, that's for sure.
That only took 5 minutes.
I know. I tried to
taking a breath.
Yes. Just taking a breath. Just reloading.
But there is, I mean, and it's all completely fair. And obviously, you can see. I mean, we see that in the reaction shots on Fox Sports Midwest, and we see it in other places that he definitely has that confidence and that swagger. And then, you know, I guess there becomes the issue, and it depends on how you want to take it, of, is there such a thing as too much of that? As Colton comes out this week after, again, two remarkable plays. The play on Monday night where he dove, like you were talking about, dove and sove runs with the bases loaded. I mean, it was one of the best plays I've seen. And then the next night, he tops it with the ball that comes up the middle, and there's absolutely no possible way in the laws of physics.
Yeah. Physics don't work.
They don't work. And yet he gets Justin Turner by half a step just a remarkable play. And so after that game, you know, he was asked about the Gold Glove, and he answered honestly. He said in his mind, if he didn't get it, that there was something wrong with MLB, that there was something wrong with the voting that goes along with that. You know, there are some people that took that as a bit of arrogance, instead of maybe honesty. I don't know. You know, I guess it depends on how you look at it. But, I mean, is there such a thing as too much confidence for Colton?
I mean, I think, look, there's always been a somewhat blurry line between being confident and being cocky. That's always been true. I think that's as true for Colton Wong as it is for anyone else. However, I do think it's significant to recognize that, you know, Colton hasn't always been the guy that's gotten the media attention, but that's who he is. He's always going to tell it like it is. He's always going to say what he thinks. He's not going to be the guy to shy away and give you some, you know, politically correct or media trained answer. And that's one of the things that's so refreshing about him. I was listening to JJ Bailey on his podcast the other day talk about this. And I think he planned for 5 minutes and went 15 talking about Colton Wong. He's been right there with me since the very beginning. But he was talking about that as well. And that, you know, it's one of the reasons that it's so easy to root for him, because he's so genuine as a person. And I had just the tiniest opportunity to get to see that from him in his very, very early days as a professional. And, you know, playing at the A-ball level, you see guys for who they are before they become the big shot, right? You know, you see those guys who already think they're hot stuff and they're difficult to work with. You also see guys who are genuinely just happy to be there, and they're not really anticipating, you know, winning a Gold Glove at the major league someday. But then there's guys like Colton that the thing that I always said about him is that he was very genuinely passionate about what he did and how he did it, and he wanted to learn, and he was hungry to get better. And, you know, he was not a guy that, like I said, was going to shy away from just being who he was. And I think some of that is, you know, part of the Hawaiian culture that he brings with him so comfortably into any situation. But I also think part of it is just, you know, Colton made a decision to be himself and to not you know, to not put on some sort of character for the public as a public figure. And sometimes that can be taken the wrong way. But I also think it hasn't been the Cardinals for whatever reason, haven't done a great job of showcasing the personalities of this team. So I think it catches people off guard when you hear something from Colton Wong where he says, yeah, I think I deserve to win a gold glove. When in reality, it's probably Colton Wong looking at the same numbers that we're looking at and seeing leading in this category, leading in this category, leading in this category, and going, look, if this is an award about the best defensive second baseman, then yeah, I should win it. And if it's, if I don't, then we need to reevaluate what the award is. As far as I'm concerned, that's the most likely case, although I wasn't in the room to hear that from him directly. But that's the kind of genuineness, that's the kind of transparency that you get from Colton Wong that I think is so refreshing. And I wish we saw more of it, quite honestly.
I know it's hard to believe, but it wasn't just Colton this week. The Cardinals go out on a West Coast trip, and we talked about it last week. West Coast trips are always kind of dicey, but most especially when it's late in the year and you're playing two teams that are right there on your heels. And the Cardinals go 5-1. You know, the one loss was pretty ugly, but even that one was close for a while. It's kind of, I mean, they sit four games out from the Cubs now because the Cubs got to play the Reds this weekend and they did what you would expect the Cubs to do to the Reds. They are a half a game up on Milwaukee for the first wild card spot. And, you know, if the season ended today, and it will end in about 4 weeks from today, they would be in the playoffs. To see them go out and sweep the Dodgers in their ballparks, to do it in a way to beat Kenley Jansen twice, and then to see them go into Colorado and somehow overcome the Matt Holliday effect, and not only that, but to bounce back in such a dramatic fashion this today, to put up 6 runs in the first inning, and just clobber the Rockies after being clobbered the night before. We've talked about it a lot, but there's a difference in this team right now, and to be able to do those kind of things.
There is. There's a difference in the way that they win. There's also a difference in the way that they bounce back after they lose. And that's part of that confidence that we talk about it as far as, you know, how it looks on a guy like Colton Wong. But, I mean, it's Harrison Bader scoring on an infield hit that he has no business scoring on. You know, it's Yadier Molina coming up with a clutch defensive play on a strike him out, throw him out, even in a game that they lost. It's those things that you see the emotion, you see the reactions from guys that allow you as a fan to buy into what this club is doing, not just as a flash in the pan. You know, you win 9 series in a row. It's hard to call it a flash in the pan. But nonetheless, you know, we've seen them sort of go on runs before in the last couple of years and then fizzle out. I think in the back of my mind, there's still that hesitancy to really buy into this as maybe not as who the Cardinals are, because I feel like you have to distinctly separate the second half Cardinals from the first half Cardinals, because there's been such a difference. And, you know, you see them go out there, get crushed, and then come back and return the favor. That's just not something we've seen from them in the last couple of years. They don't let those things that could crush that confidence, hold on to them any longer than, you know, as soon as they leave the park, or so it seems. And that's, you know, it's hard to figure out exactly where that credit belongs, but you know, as quick as we have been to blame the guy at the top, I think it's very reasonable to credit Mike Schilt for, if nothing else, creating an environment in which these guys feel like they have what it takes just for who they are, not for trying to be anything different or trying to be anything better, just in what they are and who they are and how they can play this game. it's enough. And we're seeing time and time again that it is in fact enough. I mean, to sweep the Dodgers was remarkable. To go in and take 2 out of 3 from the Rockies, who have been crazy hot in the last week or two, especially with the stakes being so high as far as the standings are concerned, with those teams really right on their heels as far as the wild card is concerned, I mean, it's huge. And I don't think it's overstating this road trip to say that this, to me, is the strongest indication of how improved the Cardinals are that we've seen since the Mike Schilt era began.
Yeah, and I mean, you go into today, you know, having lost last night, knowing that if you lose today, you lose a series to, you know, one of your closest wild card rivals, and that would probably start some people thinking that maybe they've peaked, maybe that they're going to start, you know, even though they'll play and still be in the race, maybe that we've seen the best out of them. But to come out, you know, and immediately put that notion to rest, and show that, yeah, I mean, they can't win. It's hard to believe, but they can't actually win every game. They just have done their best to do that this August. And so to see them, it does feel like it's different. And I think, you know, and I'm sure we'll hear more about it as the off season comes along, but we've heard a number of times about this daily meeting that Mike Schilt and the coaches have, where they basically everybody gets together. They go over, you know, they kind of review what went right, what went wrong the night before, and, you know, praise and correct where they need to. And I guess to some degree that helps because it reinforces the good things while letting you immediately correct the bad things. It doesn't let things fester. It doesn't let situations, you know, go out there and become bad, but it also doesn't let good things go unrewarded. And I think, you know, it could easily be a situation where people don't feel like their contributions are acknowledged or valued, and I think right now Mike Schilt is doing a pretty good job of showing to everybody that no matter whatever role they're asked to play, he's asking them that for a reason. It's not, hey, you're the last guy out here, so why don't you go mop up this game? It's, hey, I'm going to use you here, but then I'm going to use you in a better spot next time because you're allowing us to, you know, save somebody else's arm or something of that nature. And it just feels like this team has bought in, maybe because the communication lines are better, whatever the case may be, but they've bought into this and they've been able to not let things, you know, balloon on them, which, again, I'm not really trying to cast aspersions about the previous management because I don't think anybody does this. This is not a typical baseball thing to, you know, have these daily sessions. But so far, and it may be because the players are the ones that kind of run the show, the coaches get it started, and then the players do a lot of talking. It seems like everybody's really on board with this idea that I think I heard them call it group therapy. I mean, it's just a really interesting way to get people, you know, focused on today while not shunning what happened in the past.
You know, I think it's interesting. We have talked a lot about it. We did, again, not to constantly be piling on the former manager, but you know, that's a huge part of this story for the 2018 Cardinals, and we've spent a lot of time talking about how, you know, even when things were relatively good, it seemed like the clubhouse environment was pretty fractured. And you know, hardcore stats people always want to tell me that the chemistry in a clubhouse has nothing to do with winning. Yes, you can have teams that win with guys who hate each other. It's possible. It's happened before. We've all heard stories. But the reality is, most of the time, when you look at a winning ball club and you hear them talk about what makes them successful, you hear them talk about each other. You hear them talk about their teammates. You hear them talk about the success that another guy had that gave them the confidence. Or you hear about how the guy hitting behind him picked up the guy who struck out ahead of him or whatever it was. You cannot convince me that that sort of thing doesn't matter. So to come into an environment where, look, if anybody knew where the clubhouse needed some therapy, it was Mike Schilt. You know, he saw what was going on firsthand, and he saw how damaging it clearly had become to the product on the field. So if it's as simple as almost creating a moment in time where these guys all collectively as a unit can look at the product that they're putting on the field and decide what works and what doesn't, if nothing else, it gets them all on the same page. And that's what we keep hearing from them in post-game interviews, in pre-game interviews. We heard Jack Flaherty the other day spend almost 10 minutes talking about everyone else and the plays that they made and the job that they did and the way that they set him up to win and the fact that the defense was the reason that his pitching line looked so good. You hear that from almost every one of these guys now. And that's not to say that they didn't think highly of their teammates before, but I don't know if those daily therapy sessions are the source of it, mm-hmm. but they certainly seem to be reinforcing this idea that, look, we're at our best when we're playing for the guy next to us. And that's how this team is going to win. That's how this team is designed to win, because it's not built to rely on one guy. So they can't do that. They can't be that team. They have to be the team that depends on the guy in front of and behind them in the lineup. And that seems to be what they're becoming. And I know there's not a good analytic for that. And I know that. And I know that there's not a way to put that on paper and make it make logical sense. But not everything makes logical sense sometimes. And whatever it is that Mike Schilt is doing has brought back some of that magic. And there's certainly not a logic as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fairly remarkable to see this mix of players. And that is also one of the things that has played into what John Mozeliak has done. You know, we talked, especially around the trading deadline, about, you know, what they didn't or what they did do and, you know, what they added, what they subtracted. As they've made this run, of course, players have become available on waivers and things like that. And John Mozeliak this week brings in a guy in Matt Adams who not only fills a role on this team, but fits into that chemistry, and you don't have to worry about him disrupting it because, I mean, Matt Adams is a former Cardinal. He's a guy that still has very good relations to this team. You saw Colton Wong, Matt Carpenter, others get very excited to see Big City return. And he's not a guy that's going to expect to play every day. He's not a guy that's going to disrupt this chemistry. It's really an interesting move for John Mozeliak to bring him back into this mix, even if it's just for a few weeks. And it seems like it's the best of both worlds there.
Yeah, it was a really interesting choice, and I know a lot of people from a baseball standpoint would have preferred Daniel Murphy, but when you look at what we just finished saying, how much better this team, as a unit, man, you got to be real careful to bring something else into that mix right now. And if you're going to bring something else, bring somebody else into that mix, it better be someone that you're pretty confident can fit into this vibe that's going on, that has everyone on this huge high as far as their confidence and as far as their chemistry is concerned, as well as fitting into, you know, some role that actually brings value to the team on the field. As far as how Matt Adams fits into that part of this, I think people were a little confused what he was supposed to be bringing to the table. But, you know, I think it gives them another option off the bat. It gives them a little bit of power. It gives them a left-handed hitter. You know, it gives them a chance to, even in some regard, platoon a little bit, you know, with Jed Jerko in the lineup because of how you can realign that defense. I don't think that here's the thing. If they brought Matt Adams back with Mike Matheny still at the helm, I would have been much more concerned, because the reason in part that Matt Adams had to go somewhere else was because of the way Mike Matheny was using him. Not effectively to the way that the rest of the lineup was constructed or to the strengths of the team otherwise. I feel much more confident in Mike Schilt and the way that he'll be able to manipulate those roster decisions to give the team the best advantage depending on the situation at hand. And if Matt Adams can do that and be that left-handed hitter, as well as just sort of be that one more boost to this team that, has been riding pretty high for quite a while now, and you mentioned it, there's some concern that, you don't want to peak too early. You don't want to run out of whatever it is that's pushing this team forward. So if you can give them that extra little boost that we've talked about it in the past, sometimes a front office needs to reinforce the fact that they believe in the product that you're putting on the field to give them that extra boost of confidence. And I feel like Matt Adams can be that guy, even if he's not a piece that's necessarily going to take over any one of those regular positions and play every day.
Yeah, I think that that's the case. And, everybody, of course, started to panic that Matt Adams was going to play outfield, and maybe he will wind up out there a little bit, especially with Marcell Ozuna going on the disabled list. But, we didn't see him out there in Coors, which is a big deal. I mean, given that outfield, you don't want to see him out there, even though he had a very good offensive numbers against the Rockies. But you also got to remember that this is not the Matt Adams outfielder that's been thrown into the mix and, is playing his first real games as an outfielder in the big leagues to some degree. It's the guy that's played it for the last two or three years, not regularly, and I'm not saying he's going to be a Gold Glover, but I don't know that he'll be the, flailing mass that he was those first few games when he tried it a couple years ago. So, I'm not going to immediately hit the panic button if Mike Schilt puts him out there every once in a while. That being said, given how Mike Schilt likes his defense, I don't think that's going to happen very often. Just giving that other option, giving a chance to move Jed Jerko if necessary, although, the way Jed's hitting, he's playing all the time, but if there needs to be, and we saw it, in one game, Carpenter can slide to third and Adams can play first. If Colton Wong's injury keeps him out for a while, maybe you see a few more games with Jed Jerko playing second. While Wong recovers. Whatever the case, Matt Adams can play a role in this thing. If nothing else, it's to hit a big home run off of some lefty in the playoffs. I mean, that's just
unnamed lefty.
Yeah, unnamed lefty. Well, you probably won't see Clayton Kershaw
this year.
It's got to be somebody else. But, so it is very interesting. And as I said, I think besides the fact that, Matt Adams fit a baseball need, he did fit the idea of not disrupting what is happening in that locker room. And that's fair, because, Matt Carpenter mentioned that. He said, look, you bring somebody in that you don't know, and it's, are we going to like this guy? What is this guy like? Is he a good guy? Is he not? Is he going to fit in with us? All that extra stuff. You don't have to worry about that with Matt Adams. There's some idea. I saw that one of your compadres over at Birds on the Black was talking about Josh Donaldson again as a possibility. And while it seems a very remote possibility, it'd be interesting. But I think that's one of those guys that the Cardinals would have loved to seen at one point in time. But now that this team has come together in this, whatever this is, they don't want to mess with it. And I would feel like even if they had the opportunity, I'm not sure that they would pull the trigger on that, just not wanting to disrupt what they have. This week feels a little bit more like a breather, which could be a trap, I don't know. But the Cardinals have an off day tomorrow, and then three with the Pirates, and then three with the Reds. And Saturday, rosters can expand. You can bring up and stuff that bullpen full, and it feels like that's what the Cardinals are going to do. You know, Michael Walker should be about ready by then. Adam Wainwright's getting another minor league start. He could be ready close to then. We're going to see, you know, you expect to see John Brebbia and Tyler Webb. And we've already seen Carlos Martinez and Luke Weaver move to the bullpen. What do you expect, especially most of September, to look like pitching-wise? Are we going to see a whole lot of two- or three-inning starts and, you know, pulling the pitcher at the first opportunity? Or are we just going to have a lot of guys kind of sitting around out there?
Boy, you know, it's so hard to even make a particularly educated guess because we've not seen Mike Shildt manage a playoff race like this, you know? And quite honestly, the last week has felt like playoff baseball. Yeah. And while that's fun and entertaining, that's a stressful thing to manage for like 2.5 months. you know, the reinforcements when rosters expand is great, but you know, you kind of have to figure out that with as tight as the standings are, you don't have a lot of leash for those starters to get into a lot of trouble when you know you've got a bullpen full of arms that can go and get outs. But you also have a bullpen full of youth, and you also have guys that have never been there before. And that's been, you know, that's been the concern with this pitching staff all along, is that there's a tremendous amount of talent. There's just also a tremendous amount of unpredictability as you put these guys in situations that they've never been in before. Now, I think for the most part, we've seen Mike Shildt do that in a way that seems to, you know, build the confidence and reinforce their roles and their abilities. It's been very positive. But, you know, we've seen some blips on the radar with Austin Gomber and even, you know, today with Dakota Hudson and, or yesterday rather with Dakota Hudson and, you know, Brett Cecil had a Brett Cecil inning. And you don't know how much of that was compounded by the fact that it was Coors Field and pitching at altitude sort of changes everything for everyone. But it still wasn't great. You know, you can't have too many of those moments down the stretch like this when the Brewers are still right there and the Rockies are going to still make a push. And, you know, you've got teams that are still in it, even that may seem like they're far enough out that you can take a little bit of a breath. So, all of that to say, I think Mike Shildt has to continue to manage aggressively, but you've also got to do that in a way that, you can only stay at that high level of intensity for so long before it's going to start wearing on some guys. So I think there's a mental side of that he and Mike Maddux will have to pay very close attention to. You know, I think adding Michael Wacha back into the mix will be interesting. I think what they decide to do with Adam Wainwright will be very interesting. You know, we saw them put Dominic Leone back on the roster today. So there are some guys who haven't thrown a lot of pitches that you'd like to think, you know, may have, as the saying goes, some bullets left. But there are also guys that have not, they haven't thrown pitches because they haven't been healthy enough to throw pitches, and that's concerning in its own right. So there are a lot of moving parts as far as how to get the best out of this pitching staff right now, and the reality is that pitching depth that the Cardinals have been praised for so long is going to have to be on full display, because you know, you can't probably reasonably expect this many young guys to perform at such a high level for so long without ever hitting a speed bump. And it's just going to be, you know, up to Mike Shildt and Mike Maddux to kind of figure out how far they can push without ruining, you know, that confidence and that momentum that they've built over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if Mike Shildt can successfully navigate pitching limits, because you got a lot of these guys, young guys that are reaching probably where they, especially if you want to have them available, like Jack Flaherty, you want Jack Flaherty to be able to pitch as much in the playoffs as he can.
Right.
That may mean a lot of three inning starts to try to save some, like you said, bullets for his, for that postseason. If he can manage that, if he can manage the fact that he's going to have 1,800 relievers, all of which that can go four innings, and trying to find their time, and be able to do all this while he is, you know, continuing a successful run for the playoffs. If he can do all this well, you know, that's going to be just more information on the scale to get rid of that interim tag.
Yeah.
And again, that tag is probably going to be gone away anyway, but the Cardinals are going to do their work. But, you know, if you can say, look, this is what I did during the stretch, you know, very difficult to turn that away, especially after what, as we've seen how well it has worked. So, I don't know. I think September could be very interesting, and we'll see. And again, that's assuming, like you said, these guys that are coming back are worth coming back. So far, they're pitching pretty well in rehab starts, but that's against the minor league teams, and that's in limited use. And, you know, we've heard a lot of great things about Adam Wainwright before and not necessarily seen them when he gets to the major leagues. Hopefully that's not the case here. And I got to say, it's going to be a little weird to see Adam Wainwright back out there when, you know, it's been so long. I don't know. I just think it's going to be really interesting, but I do think it gives Mike Shields so many options that he hasn't been as aggressive as he was maybe that first week that he was a manager, but I still feel like if there's a situation in the third or fourth inning that he needs to pinch hit for, or a pitcher's just not looking right, he's not going to hesitate to make that move. He's not really going to hesitate right now, even before rosters expand, but especially when he gets those arms out there, he's going to make that move. That's going to be, I think that's just going to give us a few more things to judge him on, and more decisions to see how they work out.
And one thing with Adam Wainwright is that, you know, I think there's this concern that if the Cardinals want him there as a starter, we've been there, done that. What if things go wrong? They can't afford to put Adam Wainwright out there just because he's Adam Wainwright. And all of that's true. I think, however, there's I may be speaking a bit out of turn, but I don't think there's the same relationship between Mike Matheny and Adam Wainwright as Adam Wainwright and Mike Shildt, just on a personal level. That may play in a pretty significant way. And we've talked about that before. I think one of the difficult things for Mike Matheny was separating the massive amount of respect and admiration for a person that he knew quite well from their ability as a baseball player, to his own detriment at times. I think we've seen Mike Shildt be willing to say, look, this is a decision I'm going to make because it's better for the team. And ultimately, we all want to win, so I'm going to make decisions that give us the best chance to win. You know, he hasn't had to do that with a guy that is as much the veteran as Adam Wainwright, because he certainly wasn't telling Yadier Molina to take a day off. then again, who would? But I do think there could be a difference in the tone between Wainwright and Shildt that, to me, you know, I guess maybe it's the goodwill that Shildt has built up over the last month or so, but I feel like giving him the benefit of the doubt as far as how he would utilize Adam Wainwright and how quickly he would move to plan B if it wasn't effective. You know, I have reason to give him the benefit of the doubt at this point.
Yeah, definitely so. And, you know, Yadi was succeeding, so that helped.
You're right.
You know, Yadi was hitting well. But you're right. That's going to be very interesting, I think, for Adam Wainwright as well.
Yeah.
To come into the situation where the veteranness doesn't have as much currency as it used to. And I don't think that Adam's not necessarily going to, you know, be trying to pull any, you know, do a new know who I am. But he is going to be treated differently, I would imagine, when it comes to those things.
But he's also been around this team. It's not like he's walking back into something he's unfamiliar with. So
yeah, and he's known Shields as well. I mean, Shields has been in the organization, right. And it's not like this is a totally different thing. It's just, like I said, it's not a situation where he's going to balk at anything, but he may be like, oh, okay, that's different.
Right.
And go from there. But we'll see how that works.
I'd like to assume that that conversation will happen at some point before he's on the mound in, you know, two and a third in, and Mike Shildt comes out and goes, hey, by the way, here's how this is going to work. I'd like to think that that conversation will happen before that moment.
Well, maybe.
That's why I said I'd like to think.
In the past, we would say no, it wouldn't. Right. But, you know, maybe now. We'll see. All right. Well, it should be, again, you don't want to say, oh, well, the Cardinals are just going to sweep this week, especially since the Pirates have been a team for the most part. And they're still, well, no, they're not. I was going to say they're still hanging around the fringes, but they have kind of tailspinned 3-7 in their last 10. They're three games under 500. But, you know, they're still a bit of a dangerous team. And the Reds were playing the Cardinals a little bit better, although I think they've kind of regressed as well. So you really feel like...
Let's be clear, though. Last week we said, oh, I don't know how I feel about this tough West Coast swing, and they went 5-1.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say, I don't know how I feel about this homestand. The Pirates and the Reds, man, those NL Central games, you just never can overlook those rivalry games. That's all I'm going to say.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. you know, again, the Cardinals have won 9 straight series. If they make it 11, you got to feel pretty good about, you know, but the sad thing is right now, you know, Milwaukee's playing Cincinnati this week, to start with. The Cubs are playing the Mets. You could win 2 out of 3 and still lose ground.
Yeah.
And that's a crazy thing to say, but I think all you could hope for right now is to take 2 out of 3 each series, and let the chips fall where they may. So we'll see how that happens, see how that works. When we get together next time. So until then, enjoy this last week of August, and that's Tara. I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.